that your family matters to God. And I know that family is defined a lot differently than it used to be. Used to, you thought of family, you thought of just, you know, mom and dad and two kids. But nowadays, I know there's many people who are single moms and single dads and blended families and all those things. And I know God can show up and use all of that for His purpose, and all that matters for Him. And here's why it's so heavy from my heart to preach to you about family the next few weeks. Here's the deal. When you read the Word of God, you're going to discover that God chose to reveal Himself using terminology that revolves around family. When Jesus taught His disciples how to pray, He said, guys, here's how I want you to pray. I want you to pray this way: Our Father, which art in heaven. Right, He taught them how to relate to one another as Father. When the Lord tries to teach you and I who we are in Christ, He says, "Hey, we're just not some random black sheep of the family, but rather when you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are heirs with Christ, or co-heirs with Christ." In other words, He even uses the terminology of brothers and sisters adopted into the family of God. And so a lot of what God wants us to know as His church and who we are and how we function as His church is based around this concept of family. And here's why this is so important. The enemy of your life and my life is assaulting families today. Amen? And here's why the enemy attacks families. Because the family is a picture of God's family, of God's kingdom. And if he can distort, if he can pervert marriages and families, he can distort and pervert people's perspective and their relationship with God. If everything to do with family is harmful and confusing, then when it comes to us relating to God, sometimes that can be harmful or confusing. I remember one Sunday morning we were singing that song, Good, Good Father, and I had a person come up to me after service in their 30s, and they said, you know, Pastor, I'm really struggling when we sing that song, Good, Good Father. I've never known what it's like to have a good father. My dad beat me, and they abused me, and he was just a horrible person to me. And when I try to pray and I call upon God as my Father, I have this barrier I can't get through because of the hurt in my life. Can I tell you, that is exactly the enemy's intention. Amen. That's exactly why he comes against your family and my family, because he knows if he can destroy our family, that he can destroy our whole perspective of God and also other people's perspective of God. But if you and I, if our families resemble the love and the grace and the mercy and the foundation that God wanted to resemble, your family can be one of the greatest witnesses to this community and this world, because when they see you function under the love and the power of God, they're going to see your family and say, I've never had that, but I want that. And it doesn't matter if they're single or divorced or anything in their past, they can experience that love and that bond because they connect to the real Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want you to know it doesn't really matter the condition of your family. Because God doesn't, he never really asks us what we've lost. He always asks you, what do you have? And what you have is what he can heal. And what you have is what he can use. And what you have is what he can use for the benefit of his kingdom. And so no matter how your family looks this morning, I want you to know that God can use it to bring glory to his kingdom and use it as a channel and an avenue to see your friends and your family and your children live a life that represents God and is used by God and receives the blessings of God. And so I want to talk about that this morning. Several weeks ago, or about a year ago now, Megan and I were on vacation with some friends of ours, and our family, one of our favorite vacation destinations is to go to the beach at least 1 week a year. We like to be beach bums for a week, and we were down there being a beach bum last summer, and there was this individual who was next to us and had his tent set up on the beach, or his canopy. And I noticed when I first got down there, it was amazing. This guy had built, no joke, probably an 8 to 10 foot life-size model of a shark out of sand. It was amazing. And I just sat there and I spent my whole day watching this guy. When I would go, I'd leave and go eat lunch, come back, this guy's still building this shark. And at the end of the day, it was impressive. And it looks like something you would hire someone to make. It was wonderful. It was like, I've never seen anything like that before. And I got up the next morning and I went back down there to see this guy's shark. And guess what? It was gone. And that day he got up and he built some minions. Right? You know what a minion is? He spent his whole day building minions on the beach. And they were so impressive, I didn't think you could actually build a minion out of sand. But you could. And but that night, some kids came by, and they just, for grins, decided they just stomp on his minions. And they were destroyed. That guy spent every day, I mean, hours, 8 to 10 hours a day, investing his whole vacation in building these things that would not even last 24 hours. He would build it and it'd be washed away. He'd build it and it'd be washed away. Are there any parents in the room that your life kind of feels like that way? I mean, you do the laundry one day and the next day it all needs to be done again. You do the dishes one day and the next day it all needs to be done again. You know, guys, July rolls around and you mow the grass on Monday, and on Tuesday your neighbor's knocking on your door saying, hey, your yard is out of... Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes life can feel like all I'm doing is just building and it gets torn down. I'm building and it gets torn down. I'm building and it gets torn down. And if you're not careful, your family life can be defined like you're building sandcastles, right? It's just you build it and you get it just like you want it and poof, right? But I want to tell you, in the middle of doing what you feel like gets undone and redoing and getting undone and redoing and getting undone, in the middle of this cycle that seems to go nowhere and accomplish nothing, God wants you to know that your family can provide some lasting, eternal deposits and things in your family that, though other things may seem completely undone and get completely unraveled, God can use your family to accomplish things that last forever. Amen? If we build on and with eternal things. And so I don't want you to think that all you do as a parent or as even as a student or as a grandparent is just something temporary. You have the power to make an eternal difference in the lives of around those. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul teaches us, he says, by the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building upon it. But each of you should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light, and it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of every person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet he will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Father, we love you today, and I thank you for that the word of God always works. And I pray the word of God will work in me this morning. The word of God will work in our families. The word of God will work in the church. I pray for any person that's sitting in the room today, perhaps their family experience has been less than great. Perhaps their family experience has been shaken and rocked, and they have suffered great loss. I'm thankful that you can take what the enemy meant for evil, and you can bring good out of it. And I pray that today you'll bring good, that you'll show us that when things are crashing in around us, we can still make a lasting impression of your grace and your mercy and your peace and your joy in spite of those things. Father, I pray that you'll anoint me to preach this word. Anoint us to hear what the word wants to say to us and the Spirit wants to say to us. And everybody in the room said, amen. I want to look at this phrase that's found in verse number 14. It says, if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If what the builder builds survives, then the builder will receive a reward. Here's one thing that I know every parent and every grandparent and even us single people or single people in the room, we don't want to invest our lives in something that is going to waste away. We want to invest our lives in something that's going to last, right? You want some things that are going to count for God and count for eternity. But I want to tell you that your faith in God is the single thing that can sustain your life and the life of your family. If you will weave that into your family life, your family matters to God. If you're a single person today, you're part of God's family. If you're a married person today, you're part of God's family. All of us matter to God. Your life matters to God. And He doesn't want you to invest your life in things that are going to cause you to experience loss. He wants you to invest your lives in things that are always going to bring you great gain. So how can we live a life that brings the foundation so that we can receive every good thing that God has for us and not be people that build our lives to have everything lost, but rather build our lives in a way that brings God's favor and God's blessing to us? I want to share a few things with you this morning on how we can do that. The first thing, if you want to bring a firm foundation to your family, to your marriage, to those friends that you call family, if you want to do that this morning, the first thing I would ask you to do is to evaluate how you're building your life. Paul said that there are those who build with gold, those who build with costly stones, those that build with wood, those that build with straw. He goes on this list of all the different things that people use to build their life with. And the longer he goes down the list, two things happen. Number one, the ingredients get cheaper and they get more temporary. Another thing happens as he goes down the list. The materials get easier to work with, but they don't last near as long. The first things he speaks about requires a whole lot of effort and a whole lot of power and a whole lot of labor. The last things you can just throw together real quick and they might be impressive. They're just not going to last. What I want us to ask ourselves this morning is, what are we building our lives with? Are we building our lives with things that are going to last? Are we building our lives with things that are just temporary, just not going to last long at all? Basically, Paul says that he wants us to examine the materials that we build our life with. And that's a pretty good word to think about, because we live in a very materialistic culture, don't we? Right? Every 6 seconds you watch commercials on television, every 30 seconds it seems like it's changing, and they're telling you, hey, this is something that didn't exist 6 months ago, but it's something you can't live without today. Right? It's amazing to me, you know, I like to play golf, I'm not very good at it, but it's amazing to me how Callaway invests millions of dollars to buy this brand new driver, and they say if you'll buy this driver, you'll hit the golf ball just like a professional. And then 6 months later, they got a new one. Right? No, we were wrong. You got this one, it's even better, it's even better, it's even better. You could put most of the categories of commercials on television into this one category. It's even better, right? You never get the best one. There's always one better. And if you're not careful, we can waste our whole life trying to get things that other people tell us, this is what you need for life to be better, right? And so that's kind of how materialism starts. It's easy to make our lives about things that don't last. Well, I'm going to work hard to get this thing or that thing or get in this group or that, whatever. And we go over and over again. It's like that guy who's building the sandcastle. We build and we build and we build and we get it set up like we just want to. And a wave comes by and we think, oh, what I have doesn't matter. I need more and more and more. One guy said it like this. He said, when I was in high school, I was dying to graduate. And then when I was in college, I was dying to get a job. Then he said, when I got a job, I was dying to get promoted. And then he said, when I finally got promoted, I was dying to retire. And now that I'm retired, I'm just dying. And I realized I forgot to live. Right? Now, no one get depressed over that, no matter which state you're in. I'm just telling you, no matter which state you're in, build your life around things that matter right now. Here's the thing, you don't have to wait for another season to make your life about things that matter, because there are opportunities to invest your life in things that matter right now. So evaluate, what am I building my life in? Because what you build your life on today is going to affect you tomorrow. When I was youth pastoring the church, I youth pastored at, we had this ball field next to our church, and it was 6 acres, a 6-acre ball field. And guess whose spiritual job it was to keep the ball field mowed? The youth pastor. Tell Josh, we need to buy a ball field. And so I spent a lot of my Thursdays on that tractor for 5, 6, 7 hours just mowing these huge ball fields. And when I first started, the ball fields were pretty new. They were only like 5 or 10 years old. It was so smooth. I mean, you know, it was great. You could run the thing wide open. But after a few years, the ball field kept on getting bumpier and bumpier and bumpier until it finally, it just hurts you to mow the stupid thing, because when they made these ball fields, they had to cut down all these pine trees, and instead of hauling them off, guess what they did with them? They buried them. And everywhere there was those things buried, they began to rot. And everywhere they buried one, guess what? These huge potholes began to develop. And it began to show up and make life miserable for those who are trying to operate on top of it. Listen, some of you think this morning, well, Pastor, I can live my life however I want to. I can make any decision I want to. I can cover it up. I got enough skill. I got enough money. I got enough resources. I can just cover things up and it'll just all be fine. It looks smooth. It's great. There's no problem with it. But friends, when you choose to build your life on temporary things, what happened is over time, those things begin to rot. And those things begin to erode, and you start having problems and issues, and life gets really bumpy because you didn't make the right decisions up front. I want to challenge you this morning. I know it might be harder to build your life on costly stones and things that really matter, but I want to tell you, it's worth the effort, and it's worth the wait, and it's worth all the power. Listen, friends, it's worth it. Invest your life in things that matter. Amen? Because it will either haunt you or bless you that you did. Paul said there's people building their life on costly things. Listen, let me just tell you, costly stones, he says. Doing the right thing, making the right choices may cost you. I just want to ask you, evaluate, what am I building my life on? Am I building my life on the things that God says are valuable? Or the things that other people, other voices say are valuable? Sometimes those things are the same, but oftentimes they're not. Right? Oftentimes what God says is valuable, the world says is not valuable. You're sitting in church this morning, the whole lot of our whole world would say, you're wasting your time by being here this morning. But the Word of God says it's valuable. Amen? Says it's valuable. When you're reading your Bible at home, having your own private time, the world says, oh, that's just a waste of time. You'd be just as well off to read your horoscope or something else. The world says it's not valuable, but God says it's valuable. It's in the Word that you can find light and life to your footsteps. There's a difference in the values, and I want to challenge you, call valuable what God calls valuable. And it may be costly. It may cause you to give up your comfort. It may cause you to give up your convenience. It may seem to take longer at some point, but friends, if you will make the firm foundation of your life, things that God says will last, it will help your life to last and make a greater difference in those around you. Amen? There's an old saying that says this, you get what you pay for. Right? Oftentimes when it comes to our spiritual life, I've been so mad at myself because there's been seasons in my life where I know I'm getting exactly what I sowed. You ever been there? It's frustrating. I get mad at myself. I'll say, God, forgive me and help me and to never do that again. Listen, your family is worth making the right choices. Amen? It's worth it. Timothy learned from Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, those who confess the name of the Lord, they prove it by turning away from evil. Friends, it's worth it this morning. Secondly today, I would challenge you to build your life. Don't just evaluate what you've been building with, but determine or decide to build the foundation of your life, the foundation of your family, with wisdom and grace that comes only from God. I want to look at verse number 10. Here's what Paul said. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one of you should build with care. Look at what Paul said, by the grace. Say the word with me, grace. By the grace of God, I built with wisdom. Paul is basically saying, it almost seems like he's bragging. He said, I built it the right way. But he adds this caveat in there. He said, but I did it by God's grace. How many of God's grace will let you do things you couldn't do by yourself? Amen? Some people think, this is a soapbox, by the way, but here you are, you're trapped. Some people think that God's grace is just an excuse to sin. Right? That's not at all how the word says. Matter of fact, the word says it like this. The grace of God will teach you to say no to sin. If you want the full definition of grace, that's what it is. The grace of God doesn't just cover our sin. The grace of God teaches us to say no to that sin from then on. And so if what you're calling grace is actually permission to keep repeating your devastating lifestyle, then friends, that is not the grace of God. Amen? The grace of God always teaches us to say no. And Paul says, it's the grace of God that has enabled me to be a wise builder. In other words, it's the grace of God that has taught me not to build today like I used to build yesterday. That's God's grace at work. And so God is teaching Timothy, and he's teaching us today that we've got to lay the foundation of our lives with wisdom. I'll never forget when, 3 years ago this last Tuesday, we brought Stella home from the hospital, and guys, I was the ready-to-go dad. I had read 6 books on how to be a dad before we went to the hospital. I was prepped and ready. I don't know how long it took me to read those 6 books, but I can tell you it was a waste of time. Because when we came home from the hospital with Stella, I knew nothing. I mean, it was, and guess what I know today? Nothing. I just feel better about it because I know nothing. Right? But God gives us grace. He gives us grace to act not just according to our ability, but above our ability. And I'm so thankful that God's grace teaches me how to say no and teaches me to say yes and allows me to function above my own ability. And Paul says, build the foundation of your family on God's grace and with wisdom. Amen? Amen? And then Jesus, amen. Then Jesus tells us a story. I think he must have vacationed the same place I did. Because in Luke chapter 6, Jesus tells this account. He says, why do you call me Lord if you don't do what I say? He's basically saying, this is not wise to say that I'm the Lord of your life and then you don't do what I say, because lordship is actually about fellowship. And so if you're not following me, then why would you consider yourself a follower of me? Why don't you call me Lord and not do what I say, Jesus says? Because a person who only listens to what I say and doesn't put them into action is like a person who built their house on a what? On the sand. And the storm came, and great was the storm that beat against it, and the destruction of that house was complete, total, great, one translation says. But another person built his house upon the rock. The Bible says he dug deep and he laid the foundation on the rock. And when the storm came against that house, the house stood. Every time I've read that account, I've always pictured in my mind one guy building his house on a beach and another guy building his house up here on some cliff. But that's not at all the real picture of what's being said here. Because you'll notice the guy that both men started building their house in a sandy spot. But one guy chose to dig through the sand, to dig through the surface, and base his house on something solid. The question we're asking this morning, have you just been building your life on what is seeable and what is easy? Or are you digging through all the waste and the mire and getting down to something that will be solid and something that will sustain you? Friends, most of these guys built well. They just built, one person skipped a few steps. So, well, how can I function? And Jesus said one person was a wise builder and the other one was a foolish builder. I asked you in point one to evaluate with what have you been fixing things with and basing your life upon. And secondly, this morning, I want to challenge you to build your life with wisdom. Don't be like the foolish builder, but be like the wise builder. And here's how we're wise. Jesus said, number one, you're wise if you listen and apply God's word. Our lives are not transformed by how much of God's word we know, but rather how much of God's word we apply. Amen? A few years ago, Megan and I went furniture shopping. We bought this new dining room table. We actually bought it in Little Rock just down the road here. We picked it out. It was perfect. And the guy asked me if I wanted to take it home. I said, no, we're in our SUV. I'll have to come back in my truck. He said, oh, no, it'll fit in that SUV just fine. I said, there's no way this bar height table and eight chairs are going to fit in the back of a Ford Explorer. It's not going to happen. He said, oh, yeah, it'll fit, no problem. He said, just pull around there. We do it all the time. And I pulled around back, and in that moment I realized the table and chairs I was buying was not actually the tables and chairs I was buying. The table and chairs I was buying was in boxes like this. I thought, oh, Lord, help. And so I got home, and I took out the 10 million parts and the 16 pages of instructions, and I thought, well, who needs those? And I threw them to the side. And I want you to know, I built that table and those chairs without any instructions perfectly. Except the chair is supposed to have a bend that does like this. And all of mine did that. And so instead of being laid back, you have to eat kind of like this. But besides that, it was just fine. When we just, it doesn't, you know, the devil doesn't mind that we have 12 copies of God's word on a shelf in our home. What messes up his life and helps our life, though, is when we just start getting a few scriptures off the shelf and in our hearts. Amen? Because when we get off the shelf in our hearts, it starts changing things. And the way we lay the foundation, we become a wise builder, is when we let the words of God get off the pages and into our heart, you begin to hear and apply. Second, the wise builder, he dug through the sand. He didn't just settle for building on what was there. He dug deep. Now, you may go, well, Pastor, what does that matter to me? I'm going to help you real quickly. How many of you have ever known a person and you said of them or you heard someone say of them, they are so shallow? Right? Ever? Don't point. Stop. We're in church. Okay? But if you've ever heard that phrase, you know exactly. Somebody had someone's picture come to your mind and you know, you were thinking of someone who was probably not very committed, right? Not a whole lot of substance to that person. They're just kind of surface level. And Jesus said that's exactly what the foolish builder did. It was all surface based. Just they walked up. It was sandy. It looked good. It felt good. It seemed easy. And it says, oh, there's so many people that are messed up today. They think if it's easy, it must be God's will. If it feels good, it must be. If it works together with no problem at all, that must be the Lord. It might be. But Jesus applauded the guy who dug deep. And I would challenge, let's be people that dig deep this morning. Dig deep in prayer. Dig deep into his word. Dig deep into worship. Dig deep into service. Dig deep into discovering him more and more in your life. And then Jesus says, here's the third thing that makes someone wise. Is if you prepare for the storms that are coming. You know, I've been watching a little bit of the Olympics this week. Watched a little bit of it last night. And I've noticed no one is learning how to figure skate on the practice, right? Actually, on if you're streaming the Olympics, I discovered last night, you can actually stream the practice circle for figure skating. And I can tell all the guys in the room, you're going to go home and you're going to do that today. There are some men in this room who are all about figure skating. I can tell. But I did. I clicked on it. I thought, well, let me see how they practice. I did not see one dad holding his daughter by the hand, teaching her how to ice skate for the Olympics next week. No, on the practice rink, they were practicing. Now I'm dumb when it comes to figure skating, but these twirls and twists and all this stuff, it was not novice material. They were practicing the hard stuff. And so it let me know that they're not preparing today for their performance tomorrow. Their preparation has been coming months and years before today. Coach John Wooten said that when the opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. Jesus said, the wise builder built his house on the rock because he knew the storm was going to come. How do the storms are going to come to your life? I mean, if your plan for your family to be successful is this, we're going to avoid problems. Good luck with that. Okay? Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have troubles and struggles. But he also says to overcome, rejoice because I've already overcome the world. Listen, friends, the wise builder knows the storms are going to come. So I'm going to prepare today for the storms I know that are coming. Listen, we gotta build firm foundations as fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers. Because when the storm comes, it's too late to dig into God's word. When the storms come, it's too late to call upon and start making friends. We got to build the foundation we need before the storms come. And I would challenge you to consider, here's the last thing that Jesus said about a wise builder. As a wise builder knows what's at stake. Luke said the collapse of that house or the destruction of that house was complete. I think it's Matthew's telling of this same story where he says it was great. And it's easy to look at that and think, well, one guy did a dumb thing. His house was destroyed. How big of a deal is that? Why would you say it was great? Why would you say it's such a big deal? Two reasons why it's such a big deal. Number one, every soul matters to God. So when one person misses out for the life that God has for him, that's a big deal to God. But second today, the second reason it's such a big deal is because how many know that what happens in your home and your family affects more than just you? Amen? I'm gonna preach a sermon in 3 weeks from today. It's going to be simply called the ripple effect. And that is our choices, they have eternal ripple effects, and for better or for worse. And God wants us to make sure we're making the right splashes. But we got to understand that failure in the family is always exponential. So we got to consider the cost and make wise decisions. Because here's the third point, my final point, maybe if you want to come this morning. Here's why this is so important. It's because some people you know, and friends, some people you don't know, are going to build on the foundation that you're laying today. What you build today is going to be passed on to someone else. And some of those people are going to be passed on to you. You don't even know who they are or what they're about. I was reading an article in Time Magazine, and it said this about wealthy families in America, that 70% of wealthy families in America, that by the time that wealth is transferred to the next generation, 70% of those people lose everything that was passed down to them. Okay? Listen to this. By the time wealth is passed on to the third generation, 90% of those that receive unfathomable amount of riches lose it. It's destroyed. By the time it gets from granddad to grandson, it's gone. And here's what this worldly article said. It said the reason it always gets lost is because the wealth is getting passed down, but the convictions that brought the wealth are not. As believers, the best thing we can pass down is not something tangible. It's our convictions about who the Lord is. And our convictions cannot be the gospel we teach. It's got to be the gospel we preach with our living every day of our lives. Amen? It can't be surface. It's got to be the foundation of who we are. The foundation of who I am. It's Jesus. It is the gospel. It is the firm foundation. It is what keeps me unshakable when life is shaking. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in the Old Testament, the Lord said this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your might." Then he said this, "And then you shall teach these words to your children." So many times, I've preached this a lot of times, saying we got to teach. But the Lord said this, "You love me yourself first. You let me be your foundation first. And if I'll be first, then what you teach can be received. But if you're just teaching, but you're not really preaching with your life, if he's not foundational to you, he's not going to be foundational to someone else." So we got to remember, my choices are not just about me. It's about the people who's building after me, the people coming after me. And we lead others to God first by leading ourselves.